You know what I love? My cats. I love when Winnie jumps up on my lap while I'm recording and just like wants to sit on my lap while I'm recording and purr into the mic. And then I have to move him if the purrs get too loud because it gets picked up on the mic and sometimes Lindsay can hear it. Aww. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it's cute. You know what I don't love? Cleaning up after Winnie and POTUS because their litter box gets disgusting, which is why Arm & Hammer created new Cloud Control litter. Cloud Control sounds electronic, but guess what? It's not. It's about litter. There's no cloud of nasties when I scoop. It is 100% dust-free, free of heavy perfumes, and helps reduce airborne dander from scooping. So what happens in the litter box stays in the litter box. Ooh, good one. New Cloud Control Cat Litter by Arm & Hammer. More power to you.
You will drain it. Yeah.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
Buy tickets to Nashville, please. Like, let's not even fuck around.
What I love about these episodes and when we do this, it's going to age so poorly and we're not going to cut it. So it's like hilarious to me after this weekend, you're going to hear people who listen back in history are going to be like hearing us begging for Nashville. And they're going to, this is June 2019, FYI.
Okay. Listen to yourself for one fucking second. You just said that me mentioning the Nashville show is going to age poorly. Meanwhile, like just a couple months ago, we had an episode about Bree Teasy Manziel. A few weeks before that, we had an episode about the Fiji Water Girl, Andy King, Sarah Dinkin. And you're saying me talking about a Nashville show is going to age poorly?
Our These people who listen to our podcast. Time capsule. They it's go a time into, capsule.
They go into the back catalog and listen to all this old shit all the time. KT Edwards? Who the hell?
Yeah, but that's useful knowledge. Us saying buy tickets to our Nashville show that doesn't even exist is going to be really something.
I mean, I love our jobs, Lindsay, but at no point in my life will I ever go around telling people it's useful knowledge.
I'm just saying.
Although maybe I'll start using it when people ask what I do, because I hate answering that question.
I mean, this audio is going to degrade and just fall apart into pieces, obviously. But if you're listening to this in like anywhere between 5 and 8 years, just so you know, the Nashville show already happened and a lot of people did not come.
Oh, what do you do, Bobby? Oh, well, I have a podcast where I share useful knowledge with tens of people. That's what I do. They're like, oh, tight.
Tight, tight. Tight, tight.
I hate answering that question so much.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Well, it's become a layered question.
It's now a minefield.
It's probably the worst thing about doing a podcast for some of your job is being asked now, what is your job?
It's terrible.
A podcast? I like podcasts. Oh, what is it called? Who Weekly? Oh, I haven't heard of it. What's it about? Celebrities. Celebrities. Just celebrities.
Oh, no. But you are currently listening to Who's There, which is the weekly call-in episode where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We typically start with comments, then we move on to questions, then sometimes we play a game of who them, sometimes we save it for the Patreon episode. You never really know what to expect here. Should we just get into the comments, or is there something you want to banter about? We're going to Nashville this weekend. It's going to be fun. That's it. That's all I got to say.
We just did the banter.
Okay, well then I guess I'm going to play some comments.
Hi, first time, long time. I'm calling in regards to Princess Martha Louisa of Norway's shaman lover. I was really excited to hear about the tachyon energy that these velvet rods supposedly give off. So, fun fact, tachyon energy is a made-up particle that may or may not travel faster than the speed of light. I personally learned about it on Star Trek, so I was really excited to hear about it on my favorite pod. I may convert to his shaman religion now. So thank you guys so much. Good form, Bellathorn.
We got multiple calls about tachyon energy. This one's just the most succinct. We listened to all the calls. I think Phil, I feel like you don't all believe that. We do. But someone called about Tachyon Energy, and it was some sort of scientist, like someone who knew all about tachyon energy, and it was really long. And it's this theoretical particle that can go past the speed of light. It's never been proven. People think it's really sus. But as this caller said, it's used in, if you read a lot of sci-fi or watch a lot of sci-fi, people write about tachyon particles all the time in sci-fi. And in like fiction, it exists.
So it wasn't like made up by a writer. It is like a theoretical scientist particle that could be real, but there's like no, in no world has it been proven.
In no world has it been proven. Anything. I think like it's extremely fun to like play around with, because it's like, if it did exist, the implications are really cool. But like, it's fun in sci-fi. It's a scam when it's this shaman, you know? It's like,
somebody also called in from Norway and said, and I'm putting this, I'm just kind of like summarizing it, but they were just kind of like, it's really funny how the Norwegian people just kind of accept this princess, whatever weird shit she does. Like, they just kind of are like, that's our prince. Like, there she is again. There, that's what she's doing. I guess it's like an unusual, because usually Norwegians are very solemn. Is that a, that's a thing, I guess?
Is that a thing? I don't know. I'll ask Josh.
Yeah.
Are you solemn?
He's not that Norwegian. He just has a Norwegian last name. People who live there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like the Oslonians. I'm joking. People who live there. But can I name another place in Norway that's not Oslo? No.
Bergen.
Please don't ask. Bergen. Oh, fuck. You're right.
Bergen. That's it. That's all I know. Okay. Mm-hmm. The house from Ex Machina.
Oh my God.
Three places in Norway that I can name.
I would love to go
Oslo,
there.
Oslo. Bergen. The house from Ex Machina. That train, four places. Okay.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Meredith calling back. My phone died. Not that anyone needs any more fucking information on Yummy Pop, but I'm in Paris. I went. It's closed. There's a phone number and sign that says Yummy Pop is moving, but I think that that's just a lie. I looked in the store. There is nothing. It's teeny and sad, but there are two very depressing Yummy Pop t-shirts, one red and one blue, hanging alone in the store. So that's it. It's closed. All right. Good form, Bella Thorne. And Yummy Pop ScarJo.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. I'm just calling because my theory on ScarJo Yummy Pop, is that Yummy Pop is like a portal to another dimension. And the people that go in, that's how they get the popcorn. And it's a parallel universe where like it's open and it's fun. And then they come back and people are like, where'd you get that popcorn? And they're like, Yummy Pop. And people are like, Yummy Pop's been closed for years, like they do in horror movies. So yeah, that's my theory. ScarJo Yummy Pop. Bye.
I think that portal theory is really great. Speaking of science fiction, we're using tachyon particles to take us into another dimension where Yummy Pop exists. And what did she say? And it's fun.
Do you think that in the other dimension, ScarJo is like an actress that everyone likes and supports? Like in that dimension, Yummy Pop is like the most successful place in Paris. Like it's so successful. There's like a line out the door. They have an expansion. They create a restaurant. There's a theme park.
She's in a hit HBO series. She hasn't done Marvel. And in this universe, like DC is more popular than the Marvel universe.
She's like dating a beloved. Who would she be dating? Someone beloved. She's, you know, like a young activist. What other things is she doing?
Do you think there's climate change in the Yummy Pop universe?
Oh, no, everything's been solved. Are you kidding? Trump isn't president. It's like, no, it's a totally different. Everything is different. It's, you know, the smallest butterfly. Yummy Pop closing created the world that we're in now. So if it's still open, everything is different.
We got a climate change. It's done. We have great leadership. No one's unemployed. There's universal health care. God, I love the Yummy Pop universe.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And somehow Yummy Pop Open in Paris has created all of this.
Colin Jost, unemployed. He's the only unemployed person.
Yeah, no, in this reality, when Yummy Pop is open, Colin Jost like graduated college and like just didn't have any opportunities.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, second time. It's Leah, and I would like this call to be considered my official application to be your Fast and Furious correspondent, because I'm deeply obsessed with those movies. And I'm just calling with a point of fact that Paul Walker's character in the franchise is not dead. Vin Diesel and friends collectively decided that he needed to go be with
Jordana Brewster and their children and not almost die like every other day. So at the end of the movie that they made where he died in real life, he just like drives off into the sunset. But in the next movie, they like mention him. So he's alive and well and everything's chill. And I just wanted you to know that. Okay. Crunch. Bye.
What's wild about people calling and telling us the plot to Fast and Furious? I have seen it, but I got to say the plot in those movies goes in one ear and out the other. And does it really matter as long as you can remember the part about them like dragging the safe through the city to open it? Or, you know, the most important parts of this are the central car chases. What's wild about people calling us and telling us the plot line is that it doesn't change the truth.
That he's dead.
Paul Walker is dead. Maybe his character, whose name I don't even remember, even though he's the star of the movie, is alive and somewhere. But, you know, they gave him a send-off, and the hologram that they created of him that was an amalgamation of the computer and his brother was a little ghostly.
Yeah, I watched that clip after we recorded. It's, like, creepy.
Yeah.
So his name is Brian O'Connor.
Right,
in
Brian.
The thing. So why not have, like, a more respectful bumper sticker or decal that says, like, Brian lives. Brian O'Connor lives. And then you put the car silhouette.
Also, I guess we're not getting into, like, the reasonability of the plot lines in Fast and Furious, but you would think, like, a movie series that is about dangerous car stunts, that the main guy wouldn't die in a dangerous car stunt is a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that he would just, like, drive away and be like, okay, I'm done. Like, the car stunts are too dangerous, so I'm going to have to stop. It's like a little bit of a thing. I know we're all in a sensitive place with Paul Walker, but also I forgot to say about Paul Walker is that, remember how he dated like a 16-year-old when he was like 30? That was a thing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's the unspoken thing about Paul Walker that people don't like bringing up.
I know, and I just brought it up.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know. I mean, it should be brought up.
It's a thing. I forgot about it last time, but it's definitely a thing.
I was thinking about it last time, and I was just like, I can't even get into this. We're doing enough of that in this episode.
Well, there are less people listen to Who's There, so it's fine.
That's true. I don't get it. I don't get why fewer people listen to Who's There.
They don't want to hear the calls, I guess. They just want to hear
hilarious.
Us.
I find it hilarious. But we notice the dip. Don't think we don't notice the dip. We notice that some of you see the Who's There,
What else are you doing? Yeah,
I mean, I'm scolding the wrong people. I'm scolding the people who are listening.
It's true. Just,
it's a minor dip, but it's, you know, it goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth, the fifth, whatever, whatever. Okay.
Well, my wife fell off a cliff.
Hi, Who Weekly. I've never had to pause the show and call before, but I am a long time caller, listener, and the people of St. Louis do love your podcast. I was born and raised. My best friend goes to med school there now and loves your podcast. We could definitely get more people than Denver. This is a call to say, please come to St. Louis. Don't devalue us. And we love you there. Please come. Good form, Bella form. Yummy Pop, ScarJo. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Okay. St. Louis, come on. We love you.
St. Louis, it's fine. We're sorry, but it's fine.
Are we ever going to do a show in St. Louis? To be honest with you.
Probably not. It depends on what our tour guy says.
It depends.
If our tour guy says, hey, you can make money there, yes. If he says, hey, you'll be in the red, we're not going to do it.
Wow, that was some like cold hard truth.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
No, but we are not. We didn't want to devalue our St. Louis fans. I would love to go there. I've never seen it.
It would be delightful to go there.
Also, you know, I hate Rite Aids and there are no Rite Aids there. So it'd be great for me.
Wow, don't you dare bring
that
up.
How did this all stem from a conversation on Rite Aid that we offended the entire city of St. Louis and now have to, like, apologize to St. Louis?
That's always what happens. It starts with something really, really dumb and inconsequential.
And now here I am being like, St. Louis, oh, forgive me. Please let me back.
Let us in, St. Louis.
Meet me
in St. Louis. I'm going to sing, have yourself a merry little Christmas on the city limits of St. Louis and until they let me in, until they respect me, until they take back their anger. People were furious. A lot of tweets about this one. People were mad.
I know. St. Louis, it's fine. You don't have any right aids, but you have the right intentions for
that's pretty good.
Your favorite podcast.
That's pretty good. Okay, next call.
Okay.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is your new unofficial correspondent coming to you from Brazil, sharing with you the latest craze going on in Brazil related to Bradley Cooper Presents a Star is Born podcast, whatever the name of that was. The new craze is that this popular pop country duo here recorded a cover of Shallow, all in Portuguese. The lyrics don't really make much sense when you translate them. And the most popular line has become the end of one of the choruses where they sing Junto se shallow now, and that literally means together and shallow now, which of course doesn't make any sense. What does that mean, together and shallow now? So everyone is making fun of it. There are a lot of memes, a lot of tweets, all that internet stuff. And one of the funniest things is that Uber pool here is called Uber Juntos because it's like Uber together. And Uber has renamed it Uber Shallow Now. So you can literally select Uber Shallow Now to take. So I thought you would want this important, important update from the nation of the world's biggest internet fans. And there, a Star is Born trend happening now. ScarJo, yummy pop, good form, bella form.
Incredible.
That's really good. That's really good, funny.
There's nothing more Brazilian than taking the joke too far. And then like the corporate overlords of your country are like, Juntos, shallow.
Have you seen the actual screen grab of what it looks like?
No.
Look at this.
Oh, you found let me see.
So Juntos, instead it normally would just say Juntos together. And now it says Juntos e shallow now.
That's so good. That's so good. I mean, that's so, I love that that's like pandering straight to the audience. That's very good. I love it.
So the group that this caller was talking about, who covered this in the viral way, they're Luan Santana and Paula Fernandez. And this is their cover.
I love that they kept the shallow. Like, the junto y shallow makes no sense, I guess, but it's like, together we say shallow.
Together and shallow now. And it's kind of
just
like,
it's just referring to the name of the original. That is such a cool phenomenon.
That's a cool phenomenon,
it's
yeah.
It's like, that's how it translated, or that's how it spread to Brazil, and then like...
It's not rare for pop songs to be translated and kind of weird in other countries. And this is reminding me, just like, because it's at the top of my mind right now, Gloria, the original version,
so
the Italian
good.
Version, is like a completely different song. Like, the English lyrics are not as good as the Italian lyrics, but it's like, okay, I guess this, it's still working for me in English, even though like the Italian one like is a little better conceptually as a song, I guess. Lyrically, right. As a song?
Right, right. Of course that happens. I mean, that happens like the opposite too. Going back into English and going out of English.
So on this video, the top comment was from a week ago. And it's someone named Rafael. And it's not a long comment. It's a sentence in Portuguese. So I'm like, I can't read Portuguese. I don't know what this says. But Lady Gaga is the one name in there, mm-hmm, I can recognize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm like, I gotta know what this means. So I translated it. And the translation is, this is why Lady Gaga isn't doing shows in Brazil.
Oh, it's honestly the most Brazilian thing is to make it like a fight between pop star divas. It's like, take that, Gaga.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, That's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Hey, Who Weekly. Hey, I'm in the right now, but there's all this crazy debate going on in the Facebook group, and I just got so worked up I had to call. So people are trying to compare Phoebe Bridgers and Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and, like, I feel like they're both Who's at the moment, but, like, there's no way that, like, Phoebe's definitely on the way to being a them, right? Like, between Star Wars, Fleabag, Killing Eve, like, working on James Bond, like, she has to be on the way there, right? Like, I don't even know who the other Phoebe is, but there's just been debate, and I would love to hear you weigh in, because I'm so distracted at work about this right now. Okay, well, crunch, crunch, ScarJo, yummy pop, bye.
He seems so upset.
I love the, like, disaffected sign-offs. Whatever, ScarJo, yummy pops.
But he just seems so upset about this. So sad. He's like, I just can't even focus on my work, and I'm a doctor, or, like, whatever.
I'm supposed to be in surgery right now, but, like, is but Phoebe Waller-Bridge who or them? Lindsay, you're more well-versed on both of the Phoebes than I am.
I am. I'm a fan of both, but
I only recently became a fan of Phoebe Bridgers because of you, actually. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I have not watched Fleabag, and I have not watched Crashing, and I have not watched Killing Eve. I have not watched Phoebe Waller-Bridge's stuff. And I know I will love it. I know I will love it. It's very obvious that I will love it. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
You're too busy rewatching Sleepless in Seattle.
Truly, I watched Sleepless in Seattle. It's so fucking good. Oh my god!
Why would you watch anything new when you just watch Sleepless in Seattle and repeat?
I forgot. I mean, it's been a couple years since I've seen it. It's so funny. Rita Wilson is so good. Gabby Hoffman is so good. Tom Hanks. Here's a controversial thought I had while I was watching Sleepless in Seattle.
I know what you're
going to
say.
No, you don't. You do not know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I'm telling you, what I'm going to say is coming from so far out of left field, you're going to quit the podcast.
Okay.
Ansel Elgort reminds me a lot of Tom Hanks.
What? Did you just reach into my brain and
I mean, physically, it's exactly the same kind of attractive. Because, like, I mean, maybe this is where I think you'll disagree. I would not call Ansel Elgort a hunk the way I think a lot of people would.
I think he's growing into a hunk, much like Tom Hanks did.
I think that Tom Hanks differs from a lot of Hollywood leading men because he's not that sort of...
Hunky.
He's not a hunky guy.
He had a baby face for a very long time. I think Ansel, who is more
kind
of
a
hunk,
has a baby face.
And when Ansel is 35,
I think he's going to be getting Tom Hanks-y roles. But see, I don't know if that's actually, but I don't really know if that works because their careers in no way mirror each other.
No, and I think the thing about Tom Hanks is that he really loves, like, history. Like, he really, one of his passions is, like, you know, old shit. He loves typewriters. He loves, like, talking about the war. So that's why he did Band of Brothers. That's why he did, like, Bridge of Spies. That's why he does all of these, like, old movies because he loves, like, vintage shit. And I don't think that Ansel has that passion. Why did you bring this up?
the only thing that Ansel loves is Violetta. That's an idiom.
He loves his music. He loves Violetta. Are we not going to talk about the selfies, or should we save
all
that
I'm
for
saying
Monday?
Is we'll save it for Monday. All I'm saying is they look alike in a way that I think is kind of striking. And if you do side by sides, there's something about their face structure. Their two face structures that really.
I mean, I think Tom Hanks is very hot now and in his peak. And I also think Ansel Elgort is very hot now. And so to me, it's like I don't necessarily see them both being not, but I get what you're saying by not being a traditional hunk. But I will say, I guess I would have to think about who was the hunky character or actor when Tom Hanks was starring in all those movies.
You know, like, Brad Pitt. Like Brad Pitt Brad and Pitt. Thelma and Louise was happening when Tom Hanks was in Sleepless in Seattle. You know? Mickey Rourke. Who were the other early 90s hunks? Dennis Quaid. Yeah. Bruce Willis, you know?
Yeah.
There's not that machismo. We don't have that when Tom Hanks.
No, I mean, also, he's literally starring in these anti-machismo movies. I mean, what is the most machismo movie that Tom Hanks has ever been
Saving
in?
Private Ryan.
What did you say?
Saving Private Ryan.
Right. Saving Private Ryan.
Punchline.
I mixed up Band of Brothers with Saving Private Ryan, but you get it. He also did Band of Brothers.
Wasn't he producer?
Punchline is not machismo.
No,
he,
that was
falls
a joke.
In love with
that
Sally
was a
Fields.
Joke. He's a doctor / comedian. I know.
I mean, literally the least machismo movie is Punchline.
If you have not seen Punchline, watch.
It's one of the
Punchline.
Best. Punchline is one of his best movies, like almost up there with the, you know, Noras.
Once again, Sally Field, do more comedies. Abandon drama, Sally Field.
Abandon drama.
How rude is it of me to stop talking about Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Phoebe Bridgers because I want to talk about Tom Hanks and Ansel Elgort?
I know, you're actually,
Lindsay,
you're like, Lindsay, you know more about this than you just went on a whole thing
are
about
they
stuff
who's
that
or
you know.
Lindsay, are they who's or thems?
I think at one point, Phoebe Bridgers and Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who you could confuse because their names sound very similar, were at the same fame. I would say that would be around
2016.
Yeah, when Phoebe Bridger was just first starting, she was like indie or whatever. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, maybe when Fleabag first made it in America, maybe they weren't even the same fame. Maybe Phoebe Bridgers was like less famous than Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Because I feel like Phoebe Waller-Bridger, oh my God, this is going to be insane. Phoebe WB is way more famous than Phoebe Bridgers, but I would say that both are for fans of their respective genres. So like if you're a music fan, you know Phoebe Bridgers and you would consider yourself to be like you pay attention to music. Mm-hmm. And if you were like a TV fan, you would know Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Because the thing is like Fleabag came from England. It's a little bit hard to find. Killing Eve, it's on Amazon, but I don't know if everyone is like aware of it. And it's British and it's niche. Killing Eve is on BBC. It's just recently getting a lot of attention. Maybe it's by the end of its first season. But as you know, critics mean nothing in terms of what people actually watch. And her Bond thing is starting. Her other things are just starting now. And she's doing a lot of the writing, not necessarily the acting. And again, that like puts you behind the scenes.
Yeah. She did Fleabag, she created Crashing. I think that was the first show she created with people love. I think it just got added on Netflix, which is why I think I want to start that.
And Phoebe Bridgers, you know, she had a breakout album, one of the best of the year that it came out, but not a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people heard
so
it or
good.
It didn't
it's
have
so
a hit.
Good.
And then she was part of a super group. They didn't really also not really. These are all nicher because they're also coming from a little bit more of a country realm. Mm-hmm. And then she had the drama with Ryan Adams, which I said would say would be like the most kind of like in the papers that she has been. But that also did not get a ton of attention outside of music people.
If you told me they really admire and love the other person's art, I would say that's probably
oh my
true.
God. I mean, you know, they know about each other and think it's hilarious.
There's no way Phoebe Bridgers doesn't love Fleabag and Killing Eve and, you know, her Phoebe Waller-Bridge's, you know, persona. And there's no way Phoebe Waller-Bridge doesn't like Phoebe Bridgers' music.
I love them both.
I love Phoebe Bridgers. I have a strong feeling I will love Phoebe Waller-Bridge's stuff. I just have not watched
it. It's funny
because
to be cool in 2019, you could literally just be like, yeah, I'm a fan of Phoebe Bridgers and a fan of Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And people would be like, whoa, sick. Like, you have discerning taste.
I'm a fan of the Phoebe's.
The
Phoebe's.
I love both Phoebe's. So to the caller who called about the Phoebe's, who sounded very stressed, maybe, you know, put down the surgery utensils.
What do you call those? Lindsay, it's a scalpel, right?
Put down the scalpel. Because stress is a worldwide epidemic, and not just stress about Phoebe's and how famous they are, just like stress in general, You know, we're working longer hours. We're inundated with the constant news cycle. Oh, boy. Tell me about it. And we're more connected than ever before. Not to each other, to the internet. Stress is a part of life, but it can also easily affect our overall well-being. That's why we're partnering with Calm, the number one app to help you reduce your anxiety and stress and help you sleep better. Mm-hmm. More than 40 million people around the world have downloaded it. So if you head to calm.com/who, calm.com/who. Do you hear that slight difference in my accent? You'll get 25% off with a Calm premium subscription, which includes guided meditations on issues like anxiety, stress, focus, including a brand new meditation each day, sleep stories, like our bedtime stories for adults designed to help you relax, head to the magical lavender fields of southern France with Stephen Fry, or explore the moonlit jungles of Africa with Leona Lewis.
That's my favorite. I love
my fantasy. They even have soothing music and more. So right now, Who Weekly listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/who. That's calm.com/who. Get unlimited access to all of Calm's content today at calm.com/who. Get calm and stop stressing.
Hey guys, I honestly don't know what I'm up to over here. I just did something I never thought I would have done in my life. I ended up somehow on Dane Cook's girlfriend's Instagram, who I believe you've talked about on the phone before. She's 19, maybe 20 now, 26 year age difference, whatever. But I found myself there, and then I found myself going to her YouTube video where she gives us the top 15 things about her, and they're really good. I don't know if I want to spoil the end of it, but I'll give you some highlights. She likes travel and Pilates and crystals. She has awful eyesight. She likes to watch other people play video games, can literally sit there for hours, which is honestly reminiscent of Hailey Bieber. But the last one is the piece de resistance. When she was younger, before the age of 10, she had 2 root canals. Can you believe it? Joe, yummy boss. Bye.
Yeah, number 15. Lindsay hasn't watched the 15 things because she is better at self-care. The 15th one is literally like, I had 2 root canals before I was 10, but I grew, and then she's like, but I grew out of my bad teeth. And I'm like, girl, that's not how you work. Like, teeth don't keep growing. If you have bad teeth, they're bad teeth.
It's just funny to me that, like, remember when, who was it? Lil Xan's girlfriend was like, the people want to know. I got to make a 15 things about me. I got to get a YouTube and like say all the things about me.
With the anarchy bongo behind her.
Like that. Do you think these women are like, we're taking back our destiny. Like the people got to know 15 things.
No, I think she's realizing that now that Olivia Jade's mom has like ruined her career, there's a hole in the market. And I think she's trying to become an Olivia Jade, you know, acolyte.
Well, she's a singer and she has like music,
That's not working out, Lindsay. It's not working out. That's why you pivot to vlogging when your music
career doesn't
really work.
You pivot to Dane Cook's girlfriend. You pivot to being Dane Cook's girlfriend.
She was musician. Then she thought, oh, being Dane Cook's girlfriend is going to improve my music career because he's going to like use his money and connections to film me videos, which he has done. He directed and produced some of her videos. They're terrible. And then that didn't work out. So I think she's like, well, I already have this YouTube channel. It has 900 subscribers. I may as well see if this works.
I don't think that Dane... Here's the thing.
What?
Dane Cook hasn't gotten this girl attention. What has gotten her attention is that their age difference is so big. Like, if it just been like a normal... If Dane Cook was 10 years younger, this girl was 10 years older, we would have never heard of her. I wouldn't have given a shit about Dane Cook's girlfriend.
No, not at all.
Everybody's obsessed with the idea that Dane Cook, who's like, what, 100? How old is he?
I think he's 45.
Is dating, how old is she? 21? 22?
She's 20. She's 20.
So they started dating when she was 18.
Yeah.
Supposedly. And they were friends before, which, I'm sorry.
Dane Cook is 47. Also, he's a asshole. He's from Cambridge. He was born in Cambridge.
Yeah. There's a hospital. He's not one of our most proud exports. And that's saying we have a lot of not proud exports. Right. But Dane Cook is not high on that list.
No, he is not.
And if you forget who he is, he was a comedian who really was quite famous and had a movie career from it. And he was known for like, he was like a
College Humor, Vince Vaughn-y. Yeah, like,
he was a Vince Vaughn-y knockoff guy.
Yes. Like kind of a dirtbaggy, openly dirtbaggy comedian who was like very manic.
When,
very
stand up was like rock and roll, man. Again, exactly. in the aughts, though. Like, but only for a brief amount of time. Like, who was he? Who were his contemporaries?
Well, Dave Chappelle. I mean, Dave Chappelle was his contemporary.
Really,
when you think about that period of Comedy Central, like early aughts Comedy Central. His stand-up special was on all the time. Like,
all the time.
Where you... When you watch just what was on, when that's why you watch television, and you were like, well, I like Comedy Central, I want to watch Comedy Central, you would end up watching his stand-up because it was just there. And, like, his stand-up, Dave Chappelle's stand-up, like, Wanda Sykes' stand-up I saw 1,000 times. You know, like, just because it was on. And then because he was a pretty popular one, he had a couple bits that, like, people quoted. I mean, I feel like people quoted it at, like, my high school. There was something about, like, ordering pickles. I don't know.
What's also funny is he was the second comedian to sell out Madison Square Garden Arena. Was the first? Who is a comedian we've talked about on the show who was recently in a movie who's a lot like this?
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay.
That's it.
His style sort of fell out of vogue, you know? Right. Like, that sort of humor didn't really work anymore.
Right. I mean, he just did a movie that he was promoting that I noticed called American Exit. Yeah. And it was picked up by somewhere, and
it was released on digital DVD and demand. I watched the trailer. The trailer, sure. Lindsay, did you watch the trailer? Because
most
the trailer
of it.
Because the trailer features someone literally faking that classic early 90s In a World voice.
Really? In a world
where it's like
Dane Cook is famous again. After us?
An unforgettable journey.
Your dad is in some trouble right now, and he's not being rational.
You'll stop! Leave me alone!
One last ride.
Why are you
If I didn't know that guy was dead, long dead, I'd be like, oh, that's him.
In a world, you know?
It looks really bad, but I want to talk about this girl again. So...
Yeah, back to the star. Who gives a shit about Dane Cook?
What is really jarring is that when you go to her YouTube channel, like, recent videos are, like, directed by my boyfriend, Dane Cook. I'm talking about my boyfriend, Dane Cook. And her first video was uploaded in 2011 when she was 12. So just seeing that, you know, almost adjacent to videos where she's talking about dating Dane Cook sort of makes you want to throw up. Just the
it's just like you forget that the difference, and then they remind you by doing things like that.
I see a photo of her 12 years old, two rows underneath the photo of her talking about fucking Dane Cook, you know, or like being with Dane Cook.
There's also a very good Twitter thread of just screenshots of him and her commenting on each other's Instagram, mostly him commenting on hers. Like, for example,
sexy.
He commented, "I love you more than our haters hate us." And then he commented, "This pic is completely sass-tacular." Like, he's just like, unfortunately, he's coming off like the dad commenting on his daughter's Instagrams.
Yeah.
I think that straw is Photoshopped.
The one of
careful
her.
Careful, a bee doesn't think you're a flower.
Careful, and a bee doesn't think you're a flower. I hate it. I like the Instagram name structure. It's like, it's Kelsey Taylor is hers. Cause I'm like, it is? What?
But it's just like, for somebody who's like a comedian, it's just so funny for him to comment, "Why am I the empty chair? That is such a sad image. You should tag me in the ocean since I'm a Pisces." And then she responded, "Oh, I had you on the flower, but then I wanted you sitting next to me."
People are professionally funny, aren't funny in all mediums. And so when they're not really not funny in a medium, it's more jarring. And it's just like,
right.
Like people who are professional writers, like brilliant writers and novelists and like essayists and stuff. Some of them are fucking terrible at Twitter and can't tweet to save their
life.
Well,
that's true. That's the real tea hidden deep in the episode.
No, but it's like they come across like actual idiots, and it's like I have to unfollow this person because I know that they're not an idiot. But Twitter makes people seem completely different in some ways, but sometimes just like completely untalented in a way.
For example, she responded to the thread of Dane's comments with "choke on that haterade, bitch," smiley face. So maybe Kelsey is cool and we're just not giving her enough credit.
There's a chance.
That's hilarious.
There is a chance. Lindsay, I want you to click on the first one that I sent you that said from her 15 things.
Number 9. I never, ever in a million years thought I would say this, but I love Pilates. I've never tried working out.
I never in a million years.
I'm Sorry, I was right. Not oh, expecting that. One. I would never in a million years say this, but I love Pilates. Okay, I'm clicking it. God, that was great.
Number 14. I'm a total introvert.
Meanwhile, I've given you 13 things about myself, but number 14, I'm an introvert.
I'm an introvert. I love this girl. Okay, fine. I've changed my mind. She's a catch.
She's fucking great. No, we love Kelsey Taylor.
Kelsey Taylor, get out of here with this. I'm an introvert. Guess what? I love Pilates. Give me 1,000 things to know about you. I'm dying.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm calling because I just learned that Taylor Lautner has a new girlfriend, or I don't know how new, a girlfriend named Taylor Dome. And that caught my eye because, as we all know, he used to date Taylor Swift, and now he's dating another person who shares the same name as him, which I just thought was funny. But so then I Googled Taylor Dome, and the first result is it's an elliptical ice dome in Antarctica. I don't know, just didn't know who else would find this as funny as I do. So, yeah. Yummy Pop ScarJo.
So Taylor, as this caller said, Taylor loves dating Taylors. He also just loves Taylors. That's the fundamental issue.
It's the second Taylor he's dated, because what's so funny is that when he dated Taylor Swift, everyone was like, Taylor and Taylor.
Were they in Valentine's Day? Oh, Taylor and Taylor, and they're in Valentine's Day together.
And it's that kind of stresses me out, honestly, when you, like, that's why, like, I get... Like, our friend Brian dated a Brian, and I was just like, this is stressful. Like, you can't continue.
But Taylor, date another Taylor. That's fine with me, because honestly, Taylor has no interesting traits. And if he likes dating people who are named Taylor, that's a trait. He doesn't have those. He doesn't have anything else.
Also, Taylor's been dating Taylor since 2018. I didn't know.
We don't really pay attention to Taylor
Lautner. I didn't know.
Why would you?
She is a nurse. There's a post about them in the Daily Mail from October 2018, and one of the captions is, she's no A-list, Dome is studying to become a nurse, as shown on her Instagram page.
I'm sorry.
Which they're not, I think they're trying to be shady. I know that, they always are trying to be shady, but she's no A-list.
But I gotta say, as the caller said, Taylor Dome being an elliptical ice dome 43 nautical miles long, east, south, east, west, northwest, and 60 nautical miles wide, rising to 2,400 meters, centered around 29 nautical miles west-northwest of Mount Crean, Lashley Mountains, Victoria Land. It's a feature delineated by Scott Polar Research Institute, the National Science Foundation, Technical University of Denmark, Airborne Radio Echo Sounding Program, 1967 to 79. The name was first used by David J. Drury of SPRI in 1980. The dome is one of the local sources of ice to the Taylor Glacier, the Taylor Dome, and the Taylor Glacier, for which it was named. It was approved by the Advisory Committee on Antarctic Names in 1994.
Do you know what's so funny about this? I'm reading this thing and they're talking about dating.
Oh, like carbon just dating, like it, or Taylor, like dating
Lautner.
It?
Yes! They said, while dating the rest of the Taylor Dome ice core to high precision has not yet been achieved, the full oxygen isotope is stratigraphy. Shows many features similar to those in central Greenland, including apparently the Dansgaard-Ochner events. Other measurements made on the Taylor Dome core include major ion and mistless sulfonic concentrations and disgusting.
I'm sorry, that is as boring as I would expect Taylor Lautner discussing his girlfriend Taylor Dome with
right.
Me. I'd be like,
I would say this is more interesting than Taylor Lautner talking about his Taylor Dome is this scientific article
you're
talking
probably,
about their
you're
Taylor
right.
Dome.
Antarctica is probably more interesting than most people, let alone this Taylor Dome woman.
I just love that they're trying to date Taylor Dome. And let me tell you, honey, she's taken.
The weirdest thing about Taylor Dome is that I was reading this article that scientists went to Taylor Dome and they, like, you know, sometimes scientists like put a mic in, like in the hole to like hear what it sounds like, you know? And they're like, oh, what does it sound like in there? Well, scientists put a mic in the hole of Taylor Dome and this is what it sounded like.
Yeah. Sounded like Taylor Dane. The third Taylor.
They're like, well, the weird thing about Taylor Dome is that it sounds like Taylor Dane, which is surprising.
The Taylor Dome sounds like Taylor Dane. Do you think the Taylor Dane Taylor Dome is dating Taylor Lautner still?
I don't know. I really would love if Taylor Lautner broke up with Taylor Dome and started dating Taylor Dane. How many Taylors are left?
Just the idea that they're literally dating this dome and then they're trying to figure out the depth of the dome. It's like, this is like too real. I would also love to know the depth of the real Taylor Dome.
Taylor Dome, the Antarctic feature, has got to be deeper than Taylor Dome, Taylor Lautner's girlfriend, right? Just by sheer magnitude. Taylor Dome is deeper than all of us.
This Taylor Dome has been written about nonstop. I mean, there are tens of papers about the Taylor Dome, you know?
Okay, thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. We think you're lovely. We'll see some of you in Nashville. We'll see a couple of you in Nashville.
We'll see three of you in Nashville. We'll see a couple of you in Nashville
tomorrow. It's going to be really fun for those of you who are coming. You're going to freaking love it. Also, you can come see us at the PodX conference if you want to see us on panels, participating in panel culture. That'd be really cool. What else is there to say? Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. Bonus episode will be out, you know, tomorrow, today, this weekend. With that, we're done. Thanks a lot. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Rite Aid is a them. How is this even up for discussion? You're telling me that I got fired 10 years ago for coupon fraud at a WHO drugstore? I don't think so. They are a them. Bobby's right. Who cares if they're not in Missouri? Missouri sucks. Of course Rite Aid's not in Missouri. Or wherever. Rite Aid only goes to awesome places. Rite Aid is a them.